Going after one's soul. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search for the one that is straying? And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Thus, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. I have a testimony concerning our recent trip to Mardi Gras in New Orleans that has to do with one soul. Very interesting thing happened. We were at a church service on a Sunday morning and just went through the worship service as normal. And I had my team with me, and we were fixing to work the streets of New Orleans after church and after we had lunch. Well, as I was leaving the church building, I received a vision from the Lord. And what I saw was a young man lying down, dying. I couldn't tell for sure his complete condition, but he was very sick or he was hurt, and I knew it was a life or death situation. Now, this vision, I didn't know where he was or anything more than what I just shared with you, but I could tell what kind of clothes he was wearing. So with receiving that vision from the Lord, I was asking the Lord, I was saying, what does this mean? Who is this? Where is he? What do you want us to do about this one man? Well, I was thinking about it, and I had a group of almost 20 people with me, and we needed to get some lunch. So I was going to take everybody back to the house that we were staying at, get lunch, and then come back into the neighborhood and pursue looking for this young man. But as we left, we got into a traffic jam, and I realized that the Lord wanted us to look for this young man right away. Now, as it turned out, a couple of the people from our group had already started working with some street kids, and we had left them behind while the rest of us were going to go to lunch. And so I started thinking about those street kids, and so I started texting the members of my team that were with them, and I said, is there anybody among those street kids that is very sick? And they texted me back and said, yes, one of them is very sick. And I said, well, we need to pray for him. So as I was taking the rest of the team back to the church area where these street kids were located, we were texting back and forth, and my friend kept texting me saying, well, they don't want you to come to where they're living. They don't really want a lot of people to know where they're staying. They were staying in an abandoned school that was just about torn apart. There was half the roof was missing and half the walls were missing. And these were street kids. They were runaway kids. And they were troubled. And they had a lot of different issues. Many of them were kicked out of their homes. Some of them left out of rebellion. Many of them had drug problems, alcohol problems. But the Lord had a purpose for us that afternoon. And it had to do specifically with one soul. His name was Corey. Well, I said, we needed to meet this kid and pray for him. So I said, if they won't let us come to their house, bring them out somewhere where we can meet them. So they brought a group of them out, five or six of them, and it was a dollar store in an alleyway off the beaten path. And so the rest of us met them, and when I saw the young man that was sick, I immediately knew he was not the one that the Lord had given me in the vision. But we prayed with him, and we witnessed to him and the others, and it was a divine appointment all in itself. And many of our team were able to talk with some of the other girls and guys and share Jesus with them and testify on the goodness of God. And we heard some terrible testimonies of abuse at home and drug issues that these kids had. And so it was a powerful time, but I was still troubled that the person in the vision I still had not seen. Well, after talking with these street kids for a while, their leader, his name was Daniel, invited us a few of us back to their home, which, as I said, wasn't much of a home. There was broken glass everywhere, and it was out in the open. And in New Orleans, it was getting cold in the evening. But he took a few of us back to his camp. And as I said, there was just three of us that went back with him. And I was still troubled by this young man I'd seen in the vision. Well, talking with them all, I started saying, "Is there someone among you that is dying or very, very sick?" And they all looked at me puzzled. And I started handing out my cell phone. "When you find this young man, please let me know." And all of a sudden, one of the young men sitting at the bench just looked up at me and says, "I'm dying today. I'm going to die tonight." And I thought he was joking. He didn't look like he was sick. He didn't look like he was dying. But he was drinking a lot. He had a big thing of rum, and he was drinking it like water. And I just ignored what he said at first, and I just kept talking to everybody. I said, "There's somebody that's very sick or dying, and please, will you please call me? We need to pray for him when you find him." I knew it was connected to these street kids, but I didn't exactly know how or where. And I wasn't seeing very clearly that the young man sitting at the table drinking the rum, he was the one. And so we left after visiting with them and ministering to them and praying with them and talking to them about Jesus. And I went back to the church to meet with the pastor. And the pastor looked at me, and it was as if he had like a word of knowledge. He said, "Nelson, the young man sitting there that said he was dying, he was drinking himself to death." And all of a sudden, it registered to me that he was the man. And I started thinking of the clothes he was wearing. And I said, that was the one. He was the one. So we went back, and another small group of us went back to visit with him. And the pastor came with us. And the pastor spent over 2 hours talking and ministering to this young man named Corey. And after a while, he continued to say how he was going to die. He was ready to die. He was giving up on his life. And as he told me later, he came out and talked with me, and he said that his parents had split up and kicked him out of his house. And he had called on Jesus, and Jesus didn't help him. And he was very angry at Jesus. He was mad at God because he felt abandoned. And we looked at him, and I said, "Do you understand that God sent us all out here, all 20 of us, so that we might tell you that Jesus is with you and he wants to rescue you from destruction?" And he listened and he listened, but he still seemed very angry. But as many of us ministered to him and prayed with him and talked with him, we asked the kids, the street kids, to keep the liquor away from him, and they did, and they took it away. And the next day, when we went back to visit, he was a changed man. He looked different. He was smiling. And as Rod got out of the truck to go run over and meet with him, he came running and grabbed Rod and hugged him. And he was smiling. And we could see that God had rescued this young man named Corey. You know, that's the way it is with personal evangelism. We have to be willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. Think about so many mega churches in America, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 people, and we come to church and we go home. Are we willing to go after the one that the Lord puts on our heart? Are we willing to listen to the Lord speak to us about those whom we're to rescue? Our nation is in trouble, and there's many troubled kids like Corey. And we need to be willing and open to listening to the Holy Spirit and then obeying the Holy Spirit. For you see, this was not easy for me. As we were driving around and I was trying to figure out where could I find this one young man lying down, dying, I was embattled by Satan. He was telling me, "Look at how much you're wasting everybody's time. You have a whole vanload of people that have come to New Orleans to share the gospel with as many people as they can." And that's what was being bombarded in my mind over and over. And I knew it was the voice of the enemy, but it's still hard to resist sometimes. but I knew that we were to rescue that one young man. As it turned out, my group didn't grumble. Nobody complained. We drove around and had a good time until we found Corey. And through Corey, we found many other young men and women that we were able to minister to as a group, and we saw God do many, many things, not just with Corey. So I encourage you, are you willing to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you? There are dying and hurting people all around us, and our call as Christians is to rescue those who are in trouble. Jesus' desire is to rescue those who are dying, who are lost, who do not know Him. And it's up to us to be willing and able to go after the one sheep, the one that is lost, and leave the 99 behind. Are you willing to leave the thousands of the congregation behind to go after the one that is lost? That is the desire of God. That is what Jesus said we are to do. Are you willing? Are you willing to begin to be the witness God is calling to you? Are you willing to be the witness God is calling you to be? God bless you. Thank you.